I was interested in commanding language and cooking because the voices of women and other underrepresented people are allowed to assert themselves with words such as slice, skewer, and cream.
I prepared for my audiobook recording by reading the book out loud a couple times to my dog.
You're speaking for a whole day, and most of my job requires being silent at a computer, so I simply wasn't used to talking this much.
Welcome to This is the Author, where authors talk about narrating their audiobooks.
In this episode, meet poet Rose McClarney, poet and novelist Morgan Parker, and journalist Shalene Gupta. Hear what it was like for these authors to record their audiobooks and what surprised them most about the process. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Rose McClarney, author of Color Fast. Here's how I came to write Color Fast. The book began as a series of instructional poems that I modeled on the language of recipes. I was interested in commanding language and cooking because the voices of women and other underrepresented people are allowed to assert themselves with words such as slice, skewer, and cream. But these commands brought me back to questions about who doesn't get to put their words or histories in print. So I left the first drafts of poems behind and let my inquiries lead me into all sorts of subject areas, such as natural dyeing, gemology, archaeology, and into re-examining history in a range of ways, including re-examining the stories told to me and by me about my own life. Also, because my mother is a great cook who doesn't rely on or ever write down recipes, I was thinking about her knowledge and influence and what marks she will leave. I decided I wanted to use my power to put things on paper to write pre-elegies for her, poems of praise that she could read while she's still alive, because elegies often feel too late to me. Those poems got complicated, as artful poetry and the work of poets who are terrified of being sentimental often does, but my love for her is in every fiber of the book, no matter how I've woven or cut or colored it in the end. If I had to describe what it was like to record my audiobook in one word, I guess that word would be revivifying. I thought of that word because since I'm a writer, I felt obligated to come up with one that wasn't quite so overused or rah-rah as exciting or inspiring. But that's what the process of recording has been. It sort of quickened my interest in and reminded me of my hopes for Color Fast after many years of work on the project. There are all kinds of stages of revising each poem, of course, and there's the obligatory submitting them to literary journals, and then the obsessive shuffling and sequencing of the pieces into a manuscript, which often prompts more revision, then feedback from editors and proofreading and copy editing, all of which can be wearying. But to pay attention to enunciating and inflecting the poems word by word, or at least to try to do so, in a recording session reminds me of the care that went into the selection of each and the consideration of sound and the craft of line and form. I had trouble pronouncing some of the words for Element's perfume, such as, now I'm going to have to try to say it again, silage, no, I think I messed it up anyways, and chypre, because those are not words that I have used in conversation, and I think it's almost fitting that I got them kind of wrong, since the speakers in my poems are not women who feel particularly at home with fancy things such as French cosmetics. Chypre, which I listened to being pronounced online, is spelled C-H-Y-P-R-E, and my dyslexic and metaphor-oriented mind actually turned that into cipher, C-Y-P-H-E-R, on the page of many drafts until someone else caught that error. I was shuffling the letters around to make what have been a really useful double meaning, but I did learn how to properly pronounce it and corrected the spelling. In any case, I tried to remind myself that I find it charming when other people know the meaning of words but not how to pronounce them, because those are people who have learned from not having vocabulary spoken around them in their daily life, but from reading and seeking out more diverse or advanced language. My favorite poems to record were some of the long ones, such as Receipts and Cakewalk. I have rarely read these multi-page pieces at public poetry readings because I worried that in a live setting, the audience might lose interest. but I'm proud of these poems for how they braid together elements and sustain complex threads of thought, and I think that they're important to the structure of the book because they're interludes between each of the sections of groups of 18 poems each. I was also glad to give voice to some of the poems that are rich in internal rhyme and alliteration. I'm thinking of Crepuscular or Night Vision. I love rhyme and alliteration, so when I'm drafting, I go crazy with it a little bit, and then I have to cut out so much of it in order to not be heavy-handed that it's nice to come back to the final versions and hear the little flourishes that I let survive. And perhaps I have succeeded, too, in conveying in my reading some of the intentional jarringness when a poem, like Holds Me Here, has some obvious rhyme and then that rhyme drops away, which I am intending to convey an emotional shift. I prepared for the audiobook recording by reading the paper proofs of my book aloud a couple times. When I give poetry readings, I sometimes practice the five or so poems that I'll present until I have them nearly memorized, so I can look up and out at the audience without fear of losing my place. That amount of practice is not possible for a full book, but I did spend some hours out in the woods thinking about pacing and reading to the trees, and I think the big old oak trees reminded me to slow down sometimes. If I had to record again, in this studio, there isn't really anything I needed to bring. There's, you know, snacks and drinks, but an entertaining, if less plausible, idea was, what if I brought my Siamese cat as a role model? The Siamese cat that is celebrated in several of Colorfast's poems has died, but my current Siamese companion has no problem sustaining vocal expression and can generate an outstanding range of tones, though most people interpret them all as complaints and laments. So it would have been funny to have him chiming in here. If I wasn't going to record my audiobook myself, who should do it? Let's see. I saw that Thurston Moore was on this show, and I'm a big fan of Sonic Youth. Could we get him to do it? Or I guess the narrator, if it should be a feminine voice, given the book's themes. How about Kate Blanchett? I would trust her because she has skill of adopting different accents, not to do a sort of stereotypical dumb Southern accent. The last audiobook that I listened to was How I Became a North Korean by Chris Lee. I picked it up because she attended the same MFA program as I did, and she and I are also both published by Penguin. But I got drawn deeply into the novel because of its complete unfamiliarity. It immersed me in a setting, North Korea, that is one of the least accessible in our world. I don't listen to many audiobooks, but I should listen to them in the car. I do a lot of driving because I commute over an hour from the university where I teach in Alabama to the closest mountain where I could find a house, which is in Georgia. And as often as I can, I drive home to Western North Carolina, which is the place that you hear about in many of my poems. So I need a way to redeem those hours, and audiobooks would help me do that. And now listen to a clip from my audiobook. Such desire for the one red, the ruby. Exceptional red, the rarity. Not garnets, shades varied burnt to maroon. Certainly not the ruddiness of clay and wild plant dyes. Everywhere present, but scrubbed away or counted as stains. But shouldn't garnets be precious because they are plenteous? Make finding color in the hearts of rocks more likely.
Hi, this is Morgan Parker, author of You Get What You Pay For. I prepared for my audiobook recording by reading the book out loud a couple times to my dog. I realized that I didn't know how to pronounce JNCO jeans. Was that even right, how I said it? If I wasn't going to record my audiobook, I would cast Eartha Kitt. I actually posed this question to a friend who texted me without me telling him my answer, and he said, Eartha Kitt. So I think maybe she just is the person who should be narrating this audiobook. My favorite place to listen to audiobooks is in my apartment when I'm cleaning or potting plants. And now, listen to a clip from my audiobook. The first thing you're supposed to do is introduce yourself. If people don't know who they're encountering, they won't know how to perform the encounter. At which tenor, in what pitch, with how much respect. People are always saying start at the beginning, which must be some sort of sick joke. We love linear narratives, the smooth waters of sequential order, but it's too clean. I was early by weeks. The story goes that when she went into labor, my mom thought the waterbed broke.
Hi, this is Shalene Gupta, the author of The Cycle, Confronting the Pain of Periods and PMDD. I wrote my book because I really wanted people to learn more about PMDD. At first, I had a really hard time writing it, and finally someone went to me and said, "Who are you writing this for?" And I thought about myself at 24, losing control and just feeling like I wasn't the person I wanted to be and being so upset and full of self-loathing. And I thought, if someone else reads this book, learns about PMDD, and it helps relieve them of some of that self-loathing, then my mission is accomplished. If I had to describe what it was like to record my audiobook in one word, the word would be exhausting. But I'm actually also going to pick a second word, which is exhilarating. It was a lot of fun, but also you're speaking for a whole day, and most of my job requires being silent at a computer, so I simply wasn't used to talking this much. I realized I had trouble pronouncing women and suicidal, which is kind of ironic given the topic of the book. My favorite section to record was actually the personal parts. It started feeling like I was retelling a story instead of just reading words off of the page. I prepared for the audiobook recording by not actually doing much. I had this vision that I was going to do vocal exercises and practice. And then I just kind of sailed into the studio, but I was really lucky. I was working with a great team who was really, really helpful. If I had to record the book again, I would bring a clone with me into the studio so that my vocal cords could rest because I definitely got tired the second day. If I wasn't going to record my audiobook, I would definitely cast Dua Lipa. She has a gorgeous voice, and not only that, she could sing some parts, and then it would be a hit musical. And now, listen to a clip from my audiobook. It is 3 a.m. in the early spring of 2020, the beginning of the pandemic, and I am carving stars into my leg with a butcher's knife. Or at least, I'm trying to. Skin is surprisingly tough, knives are surprisingly painful, and a butcher's knife may not have been the right choice for the job at hand. The most I've been able to achieve are a few scratches, which fills me with a vague sense of embarrassment. If you're going to crack, you should at least do it properly.
This is the Author is a production of Penguin Random House Audio. Thank you for listening.
For more behind-the-mic content and audiobook recommendations, visit www.penguinrandomhouseaudio.com/nextlisten.